Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Catherine, who has had some very fun ideas to create a practice day for herself around Thanksgiving. And we asked if she might be willing to be on the Good News Update to share her ideas in case anyone wants to steal them. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So tell us what you're thinking, what you have planned so far.
Well, I wanted a gratitude day. I'm going to be by myself.
Uh-huh.
I've already done the family thing over the weekend. And I wanted that. I wanted to be able to practice, have a day of practice and gratitude. And so I've been thinking for the last couple of weeks that I would like to have a special day just to focus on gratitude. And what it first started to be was, well, conditioning came right in. And it has to be the most amazing, historically wonderful one-day retreat ever.
Absolutely.
And,
guaranteed failure, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd be so stressed and, I mean, a constant meeting standards and all that.
Yeah.
So kind of taking some inspiration from the at-home retreats that the monastery has provided for us, I was going to start with that sort of a structure. And what was coming up was, well, do I need to find a guided visualization for myself, and what do I need to do to put into this retreat? And finally, I did some self-facilitation, and what came up was I just wanted a day to celebrate being alive.
Uh-huh.
And to just being thankful for being alive.
Wow.
And I wanted a simple day. So it got uncomplicated really fast, and now it looks like the structure I'm going to have, I'm going to meditate. Hopefully, I've emailed the monastery and asked when the monks might be meditating on Thursday, and maybe I could meditate at that time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And also, I'm going to set a timer and record and listen every 15 minutes.
Wow.
yeah. So I did this a couple weeks ago. I had a Saturday at home working meditation.
Oh, very cool.
And I recorded and listened every 15 minutes, and by the end of the day, I had gotten quite a bit done, and also I just felt more and more present as the day went on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've decided I'm going to use the timer again. And but other than that, I want it to be relaxed, and I'm going to make my favorite foods from one of the recipes is from the monastery cookbook. And I'm going to just sit around and be for the and may record and listen about that.
Yeah.
But I want to just be and enjoy that and count my blessings.
Yeah. You know, it's an extraordinary process that you lay out, Catherine. It really is, because clearly the idea, I mean, just from start to finish, really, even first the piece of, you know, I'm clear that I want to spend the day on my own, really experiencing and practicing gratitude. And so setting it up that you're with your family the weekend before, granted,
uh-huh,
it's probably too late for most people to pull that off at this point, but maybe for next year. I mean, that right there is a huge radical statement, isn't it? To be willing to do that, to set it up in a way that you really, really want, that's so different from what kind of society says is the way to do it, or even what you're going to want or like, but to take the time to touch in and quietly look at, well, what do I really want?
Mm-hmm.
And to be willing to follow through with the answer that you hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. And my family, it kind of understood when I told them I was going to do a retreat. I didn't explain any details.
Oh, very good.
If I'm just going to be on a retreat that day, oh, okay, well, we get it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. But you see you going on retreat, so that's good.
Yeah.
Retreat that day. And then the other piece I just really, really, so great is the, so there, you have this insight, you know, life offers you this idea, and of course what happens immediately, conditioning comes in to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now this is going to be the best gratitude day ever, and guided imageries, and, you know, all kinds of complex things. And again, to I'm projecting kind of a willingness to just be quiet and listen and still and hear, no, that isn't actually what I want. What I want is a simple day to just be. And, you know, the more quiet we get, the more being present to what we do have in our lives, the gratitude just kind of bubbles up, not because we're trying to be grateful, but because there's so much to be grateful for that when we become quiet, it's just what's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So when I'm present, and I'm still, there's acceptance there, and then the gratitude is there. And I, in the last year, I've been having more and more moments that just feel extraordinary of just this deep amazement that I'm alive. Just, it'll just hit me, wow, I'm alive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can experience this, and I can see this, and I get to be alive in the world, and then I get distracted, and that kind of goes away. But I kind of wanted a day to see if I could just live from that place.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's as you're talking, I'm going to that, to my experience of that. You know, you're taking me to that place. It's just, just that everything's amazing. It's just.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miracle. It's all. There's a peace quote that came through a while back. I don't know who it was. It says something like, humans have an infinite ability to take things for granted.
Oh, yes.
And it's so true. I mean, everything's a miracle. Everything. And
I know.
What an amazing gift to set aside a day to be present enough to be quiet, because everything you talked about that you're putting into your day is a support for just being present. That's all. To just be present and to put that in place so that you can, you know, see that miracle that's everywhere in everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and Cherry's talked about, you know, when little children and everything's miraculous and amazing and they love it, and they're all excited and enthusiastic. And I kind of think that I was experiencing a lot of that when I would have those moments of, wow, I'm alive. I can't believe my luck and my good fortune. And so part of my day, I ordered some children's books.
Oh, lovely.
That, you know, I have a part-time job at a library, so I'm around children's books, and there are a couple of new ones out with a message of gratitude. So I ordered those, and I'm going to read those Thursday. I think I'm going to have a little group and just for any parts of me who want to hear that story or be there. So I want to enjoy that. And the other thing, my cats and dog are real important to me. And I've noticed that anytime I'm just sitting and being, that pretty soon I'm surrounded by cats and the dog.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that, but I get up, but then, you know, I have things to do.
Yep.
So I can't do that for very long, you know, and I have to get. And so that's another thing for Thursday, that the gratitude day, that I really want to, I really want to just be and just enjoy that. And I know conditioning is going to come in, with, oh, you know, you could rake leaves, or you could get so much done now, or why don't you watch a movie? Or, I mean, I'm sure it'll try to distract me from that. But
yeah, well, and it occurs to me as you say that that's such a perfect place for recording and listening, isn't it? Leading up to your day, you know, and right in line with what we've been talking about for the last several weeks in practice of, you know, the person who's planned this day is clearly the grown-up who wants to practice. I mean, that's who's kind of leading the show. And so to do some recording for her in case, you know, very likely, as you say, conditioning is going to come in to, you know, suggest to-do lists or distractions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So a little support recording for her in case it's needed to remind her of why she set out to do this to begin with and what are the benefits and all that.
I'm starting some posters, some gratitude posters for to kind of hang out in my dining room, living room.
I said it's a multimedia event.
Yes, it is. And so because I want to make a list of what I'm grateful for and have that before me and also what I have given. So that it was a mentor's idea. Why don't you have a poster that what you have given? And because, you know, conditioning, oh, there's so much resistance to that.
Oh, I bet.
And, yeah, and so I still feel resistance to that. I can still tell that there's a lot of resistance, but I'm doing that. And so a lot of it is I'm going to have peace quotes on it. And kind of there is a reminder and a focus, so.
Wow. Very, very inspiring.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm talking, I said, I think the first thing I said was, I want this to be relaxed, but I really do have a lot a lot going on. But I know it's an, I do know that it's an experiment.
Yes.
You know, so it's not, I don't have to meet any standards about this.
You know, and it occurs to me, I hope that you'll call into the radio show and report back, because it would just be so fun to hear all that you saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of expect I'll see a lot.
I think so.
Of conditioning, you know, resist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon and sharing that with us.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
And have a fabulous gratitude day on Thursday, as I hope we all will.
Yes, you too, and everyone.
Okay, thanks, Catherine.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll pass it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Catherine. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Afternoon, Michael.
Yes. Feels like good evening these days.
Doesn't it? Dark.
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah.
Oh. But didn't we just hear some amazing and, could we say, radical ideas?
Yes, fabulous.
Wow, I love that on Thanksgiving, noting what a person gives.
Yes. Brilliant.
Rather than making that artificial distinction that's so popular between giving and receiving as if they're two different things, and we know that they're not.
Yes.
Fabulous. I'm inspired.
Yeah, I like that one in particular because conditioning is always reminding me of what I haven't done.
the fact that
I'm still flawed rather than focusing on the successes and what's working. And as you said, when you go to Africa, you focus on what's working.
Yes. Yeah. So important, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, connecting that up, when we are indulging those voices and self-hatred, We're really not being very grateful. You know, I mean, that can sound sort of obvious, but when we're caught in the middle of it we forget that.
Yes.
Because all of our attention goes from what there is to be grateful for in life to what's wrong. And even though many of us have been conned into believing that focusing on what's wrong with me is the good person thing to do, it's not very expressive of the gratitude that for all life showers on us.
Yes.
So I understand we might have undercut your announcements this time. Did you get that message too?
Yes, I did.
Isn't that fun that the New Year's retreat is full to over capacity at this point?
Great. Great.
Good.
Another success.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we have not much to announce, huh?
Well, actually, a few things.
Oh, good. What do you got?
There's a workshop in Palo Alto on December 8th.
There is. What's the name of that?
The Gift of Your Presence. A day of inspiring exercises and guided imagery designed to remind us of what we want for ourselves and our lives.
Perfect timing, isn't it? Between all of the that Thanksgiving can be, and as people begin to gear up for the next holiday, I heard somebody say the other day that I think it's in San Francisco, the tree lighting ceremony in San Francisco happened last weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, oh, my. Pretty soon, you know, we'll start putting up Christmas trees at Halloween.
Yes.
So it's a big time. And to have all of the sanity added to it that we can manage to find seems really helpful.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. And I was just going to say that we have at-home opportunities just before and just after Palo Alto.
Mm.
So there's an at-home retreat on December 1st, the day filled with practice featuring groups by conference call and focused exercises. Great way to experience practice and sangha right from your home, as I did a few weeks ago. Yes.
Yeah.
And ended up with a much greater appreciation for my home. It was really lovely.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. That was the one themed that way, right? That it really was focused on your home.
For most of us, that's
where most of our practice happens.
Yes, and it was so brilliant because just like you were talking about, conditioning is there with what's wrong with the house and how messy it is, and you take a day to look underneath that, and there's just tremendous gratitude and tremendous love going on in this home, and it's really shines a fresh light on that.
Uh-huh. And, you know, even having a messy house, it's a funny thing, right? It really is a privileged person's problem. I've got so much stuff that it's all over the place. And then you think about the people all over the world who, you know, they don't have nearly enough stuff to fill up a room, let alone a house.
Yes, I know. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, we're funny critters.
Yes, indeed. And then Guidance Day for Monthly Donors on December 15th. Look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced practitioner via phone or Skype.
Uh-huh. That's real close to the wire support.
Yes. And I think I even saw an RLB support call that was December 20th or something like that.
Wow.
I thought great.
Uh-huh. We were just talking about that in the we just went through strategic planning for next year for Living Compassion and the Zen Center, and that was one of the things that people in those meetings talked about was how much they love those support calls. And these are, of course, people who've been doing practice for a really long time. That's one of their favorite things to participate in, is support calls for reflective listening buddies.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. I mean, it's just so wonderful to see a calendar, monthly calendar, that has something on Tuesday, something on Saturday, another thing on Thursday night, and then another thing, and it's so supportive.
Yeah, yeah. What is this? You're alone. Don't be silly.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. And a reminder to our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Let's go. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Brooklyn.
Hey, Jill. What's going
hey,
on Jerry. With you in Brooklyn?
Well, I also am thinking about Thanksgiving, and I'll be with my family, so it will be a little bit different. But I'm calling because I have exciting things planned for support, but I'm with my family in Thanksgiving.
Oh, say more about that, please.
Well, it's funny because I just got off the phone with my brother, and I could already feel a lot of the stuff coming up, all the stories. And I mean, it was, you know, I think it was 15 seconds on the phone with him. And it was like, it was all there. It was crazy.
Yeah. You're right actually probably before either of you can remember when all of this got started going down that road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's such an old story. It's such an old story. And and so I started to think, you know, so what can I do? Well, because it was just a phone call, I was like, okay, well, I'm obviously going to need some more support when I'm actually in, you know, his presence and the family presence. And how can I take care of myself? That's sort of what I came down to. How can I take care of myself? And I've been doing a lot of recording and listening lately, and I just love the radio shows lately about recording and listening. They have just been phenomenal. And I have to say the same thing is happening to me. The more I record and listen, the more extraordinary my day is.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like that will be a big part of my Thanksgiving adventure, is recording and listening has to be in there somewhere.
Mm. Now, how are you going to pull that off when you're in a family party situation?
I know. I'm going to be surrounded by family for 4 days straight. So
yikes.
How am I going to pull that off?
Lord.
How am I going to pull that off? I hadn't really gotten that far in the planning.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? You'll see the projections in this. Do you feel an obligation to be with people all the time just because you're together for this occasion?
Luckily, there seems oftentimes when we're together a flow where people can sort of opt out for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be sort of convention that our family has, which is fine. I have, you know, I've gone into other rooms before, and so I feel like that there is there are these built-in opportunities to record and listen, and I feel like it's there.
Uh-huh.
It's there already.
And you can remember to do that.
And I can. I think it will probably. I think I will be desperate to do that.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm thinking will happen. And also too, just reminding myself that I only need 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 30 seconds.
Yes, pointing out to people, nobody questions when you go to the bathroom.
Exactly. Exactly.
And even if you're talking to yourself, and somebody's happy. they're not going to bring it up.
They're not going to bring it up. And what I found is if you hold your recorder very close to your ear, you don't even need headphones.
Right.
I actually listen to it without headphones more often than not, because it's just as if you're talking. If you're listening on the phone, it doesn't make any noise that others can hear, which is, to me, a revelation. So,
yeah
I'm going to be doing a lot of that. Yeah, it just... It's just been such interesting things coming up around this. It was, you know, I was standing in my room thinking how I felt like I was preparing for war. I was just like, you know, how am I going to go in there? You know, there was this whole idea that there was an in there that I was going into
uh-huh.
that was different from where I was here now, and that I was going to have to battle, you know, to keep myself from getting sucked into all this stuff. Like I had all of this imagined.
Well, you know, when you say that, I want to frame it slightly differently, but with the same with the same kind of preparation, what I would say you're going into is a place of compassion. That's really what you're arming yourself for, if you will. So you know that you're going to get triggered, and you don't want to get triggered.
Right.
So in a way, it does feel like a battle, but it's actually kind of an Aikido battle. Right? So you're going to use all of your skills to be sure that nobody gets hurt. Nobody does anything regrettable. So you do have to be prepared. You do have to arm yourself in that sense. Because what conditioning wants us to do, of course, is do the Hallmark card thing. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. Won't it be great? We'll all be together. We're going to have so much fun. And then, as you say, 15 seconds into it, somebody says something, and you're 6 years old or 13 years old, and it gets ugly.
Yeah.
So bring
it
that level.
For me,
go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, for me, it gets ugly on the inside. Like, that's the worst part of it, because my family on the outside seems kind of fine, and, you know, we have our problems, but it's not. But, like, how it feels on the inside is, it just feels terrible. It feels terrible. And I
don't
want to
do that.
I don't want to do that. I don't. I'm done. I'm done. I'm hanging that up.
Yeah.
I'm hanging that up. I'm done
retiring that part of it.
I'm retiring that. I'm definitely retiring that. I had this image too earlier today of just like, you know, again, this preparing for war thing just came to me, and just like, and then just going in and like, just laying. You know, this was when I was on retreat, this came up a lot, just like laying down on my arms, you know, just like collecting all my weapons and then just like giving them away, you know, just like laying them down, just like going into battle
melting them down on my knees.
Melting them
down and using them for making peace signs or.
Exactly. Just sort of like there's that same sort of gathering in some ways, but like you're exactly what you're saying. It's an Aikido thing. It's a place of compassion, and you know, oftentimes when I go to be with my family, I just try and be of service. You know, that's my go-to thing is, you know, if I don't know what to do, I do the dishes or I do some little thing that makes me feel like I'm contributing in a way that actually lights me up, which is great.
and you know, Jill, the other thing that I hear in this. That I think is important for us all to remember is I don't hear that you're going from a place of need. Right? Because that's the other trap we can fall into. I need somebody to be there for me or understand me or be ready to take care of me or whatever it is. And that's just a recipe for disappointment every time. Part of what you're saying with your recording and listening practice is you feel cared for. You have an ally. You have kind of protection and comfort and support and that sort of thing. And you can then be of service in that sense.
Yes, exactly. There's no, whenever I move into that place of wanting them to be a certain way or, you know, wanting some recognition of what, you know, trespasses they've committed against me in my head or any of that story, it's painful. And just the going in there with a link to the mentor and, you know, this spirit of service and spirit of inquiry, laying down of arms, you know, place of compassion. How can it go wrong?
Right. And you know, the other part that I would add to that is a recognition that we all want the same thing. You know, most everybody we know anyway, could give a list of how their nearest and dearest have wronged them. And that's true. You can look around at any family gathering and know that everybody's got those stories. And so, you know, if we recognize that, then God knows we don't have to add to that by wanting them to come from out of their place of deprivation and be generous.
Yeah, that was a trigger that I had in my conversation with my brother, and that he was very up, and he had this sort of, like, you know, excitement, party vibe to him, and I haven't slept well the last couple of days, and so my energy was very low, and I was projecting that he was disappointed that I wasn't able to meet his energy or excitement about coming tomorrow and all this other stuff, and just that whole thing too, like, you know, I'm enough exactly how I am, and you know, whatever they're going to experience with me too is fine, and I don't have to leave myself to be some imagined thing that they want me to be, or, you know, everything that I bring into the breath and bring into me is right.
Right, and you can just smile a lot, and if you have that kind of family, hugs and I love yous go a really long ways.
Yes. Generous hellos.
Well,
thank you, Sherry.
Let us know, okay?
I will.
We need post-holiday reports.
I will. I'll call in and report. I would love to.
All right. Take care, Jill.
All right. Good night. Thank you. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Jill. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, Sherry. This is Elizabeth calling.
Well, hello, Elizabeth.
Hey, I wanted to know if you could give me some advice.
Never.
Encourage
but I have you. All kinds of suggestions and encouragements and, dare we say, opinions.
Great.
But as long as you understand that I just talk and then you do whatever you want to do.
Okay, I need a karmic breakthrough.
Okay. All right, let's shoot for that.
Yeah. So I have a chronic illness, and it's hard and difficult, like anybody with a chronic illness. It's just hard to get through the day from day to day. I feel physically awful a lot of the time, and when I feel physically crappy, I feel really depressed about my life because it's just so hard, and it just seems all I do is struggle with this illness and can barely get anything done and don't even hope to make plans or, you know, it's just really hard and feeling physically terrible so much of the time. So how can I not be just depressed about my life?
Well, that's a big one, isn't it? And so can I ask you a little bit about it?
Yeah.
Is it a steady kind of thing? Can you say what it is?
It's Lyme disease, which is
okay.
Infections like the flu.
And is where you are in the cycle, does it come and go somewhat, or is it are you in a pretty constant state?
I'm in a constant state.
Okay. How long have you had it?
A long, long, long time. Like many, many, many people, it was misdiagnosed. It's been a long time.
Okay, got it. Okay, I think crappy, you hit the right word for it. And so, given all of that, here's the best I can offer you. And that is that, first of all, to acknowledge it, do you feel like you've grieved it?
It's ongoing grief.
And has the grieving process gotten to the point of acceptance?
Sometimes I can get to moments of grace. Sometimes.
And is there still, do you hear voices talking about, probably yes, on what a misery this is, but also hoping that it'll be different?
I've pretty much, like all sick, chronically sick people who try everything, I've kind of given up hope, and my only hope lies in that I can have some karmic breakthrough or that kind of thing.
Okay. Because, I think that a big part of turning around your relationship with it is accepting it. So I have a history of depression. And one of the things that I encourage people with regularly is resist it. Fight it. You can't hope that it's going to go away, because doing that is the fuel that feeds the depression. So the only hope that we have is to welcome it, to bring it in. And of course, that is completely counter to everything that we're taught to believe, and it's completely counter to what karmic conditioning wants us to do. It wants us to resist and fight and be focused constantly on what's not working and what this means and how unfair it is, and but what if this, and oh, it's never going to, and it's probably your fault. You know, that kind of focus is what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing to everyone, regardless of the content of their lives, right? So if you had someone that you love unconditionally, kind of a love more than life itself, and that person had this physical state, was in this physical state that you're in, looking at how you would be with that person, the kind of support that you would want to give, the understanding, the almost a cheerleading position of voting yourself to that person having the best life that she or he could have under the circumstances. It's a child born with some sort of disability that you know immediately this child is never going to have a normal life. It might live in a wheelchair forever or die very early, or and the impulse, of course, is to withdraw, and yet you don't because you love this person and you're going to be there and do everything you can to make the life the very best that it can be under the circumstances. Picture all of that?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's the relationship you have to be in with Elizabeth.
How can I not feel so crappy about my life and be depressed about my life?
Well, the secret to that, to what I just laid out, is that when you're focused on providing the best life that you can for her, when your sole motivation and the complete focus of your attention is on caring for her and letting her know how loved she is and doing everything you can to be sure that she has the best of everything that she can have, your life experience will be that. Your life experience will be caring, loving, doing for, attempting to find the perfect thing for her, the thing that will make her smile, the thing that will have her forget for a second the pain that she's in, or have her not feel like she's missing out on anything in life. So as hard as it is to imagine, when you go to that place of feeling crappy about your crappy life, that's actually egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate talking.
When I'm feeling crappy and feeling crappy about my life, that's EKC talking.
Because who you are authentically is the unconditional love and acceptance that I just described. And you have a perfect situation, not a desirable situation, not a situation that very many people would want to trade out with you. But it is a perfect situation for learning unconditional love because you have no choice. You know what I mean?
I'm writing this all down.
Well, remember, it's being recorded so you can listen again, but I want to say something else about that, okay? So when I first, I mean, I don't even know when I first realized that I was depressed. Well, I mean, I didn't know that I was depressed. I just thought there was something really wrong with me. I thought that I must be terminally ill with the slowest acting disease known to humanity because I would be in these places where I literally couldn't move. I couldn't get out of the chair and walk across the room. I lacked the strength to do that. So picture that as the life experience. Doing everything that, because it would come and go. I mean, it would get less and then it would become debilitating and then it would lift slightly and then it would become debilitating because it's actually manic depression. So during those times where I was completely incapacitated, there was just a desperation for it to be different. I mean, there was nothing there that made me want to live. And of course, that's another story, but I came to a conclusion about that too. But it was getting to the point of realizing that there was nothing I could do to change my life experience. The only hope that I had was to live within the life experience I had. And that meant good parts of my life were in this paralysis of depression. And through that process, beginning not to take that human being or that life personally, but seeing that life for what it is. So it's, again, you know, having no choice about it offers that marvelous opportunity to find out what's available within these circumstances. That's the thing that karmic conditioning doesn't want us to explore. So the people who are taking care of an elderly parent who has Alzheimer's or watches, you know, a loved one slowly dying of cancer, there's no choice. It's not like there's another life available to me. This is the one I have. Anything else is just a waste of time to think about because it's not possible for me. So now, I got that. I live within this.
And the answer is unconditional love for myself.
Yes, for her. Not for yourself, because that's an ownership relationship. You have to actually step back from her into unconditional love. Now, there's that woman, and this is what happened to her, and it's really, really, really sad, and it's really hard. And you can see her, and you can see her disappointment and her frustration and her hopelessness, but you love her. Just want to make it.
Okay.
You let me know how you gals do?
I will, thank you. Well, thank you again.
Okay. Take good care, all right?
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear an important message, and then we'll be back. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
Hey. I'm okay. that was a really, I really appreciate it. I've appreciated all the calls. It was a really, really powerful call. So, you know, I called, I think it was just last week, and just looking at, I'm aware conditioning just, it was like, hang up the phone, hang up the phone, hang up the phone. It was one of those nights tonight. I'm really aware that conditioning just doesn't didn't want me talking. But so I was looking at how I've been noticing how it gets my attention in this endeavor to learn to be in charge of my attention. And something I just keep really getting stuck. I mean, I know that this is what it's going to do, is it's going to find compelling content and try to suck me away, and that is what it's been doing. And I've been seeing that it's been particularly effective because it's been driving, it feels like kind of driving a wedge between me and practice and me and my mentor. And some of the way that I think I'm seeing is with the kind of content of what I'm doing, I work as a life coach, and then this my 300 for 1,000 project is these kind of weekly centering calls, and then I'm involved with the Zen Awareness Coaching program in different places. So I think what's happening is I hear, so guidance maybe is offered, an email or a phone call or something about coaching or about how to be in the world or how to offer the privileged environment or, you know, how to be of service, things that are really important to this heart. But then, of course, you know, they get translated through conditioning. I don't know that I'm pretty sure I'm not hearing any of it clearly. And how they get translated is always to, you're doing it wrong, and what you're doing is this bad, shameful thing, and it's probably harming other people, and you need to feel really bad. And then anytime I try to clarify something, I think that conditioning even kind of takes my mouth and my words, because I've had experiences, you know, where like
start feeling like it's a ventriloquist.
Yes, because it gets worse. You know, I say things and then it's like, oh my God, that's not even what I meant to say. That's not helpful either. So the confusion and then the lack of clarity continues, and so it just builds to this like, well, you know, yeah, you're doing things that are bad according to practice. I mean, I know it doesn't. I know when I hear it out loud, okay, this is clearly conditioning, but somehow because it's connected to practice and because there really is a genuine desire to do things in the world that are as in much integrity as possible, it gets me. And I just fall for like, okay, and then I do try to clarify, and the clarifications, you know, just are hijacked by conditioning. And,
you can feel yourself just digging in deeper and deeper and deeper.
Oh, yeah. It's just been, it's awful. And then, you know, I feel awful, you know, pretty regularly about what I'm doing terrible things.
Of course, what it would say is, and so if you just stop doing practice, you won't feel bad.
Yeah.
Right?
It's,
that's the implication. You know, you're feeling bad because here this stuff and you can't get it right and you keep doing it wrong, and so you should just quit. And the implication is, and then you'll feel better. Then all these issues will go away. And, of course, you've been around long enough to know they won't. The content will change.
Well, and I'm suspicious enough, at least, if I hear that one to know, you know, that's why I'm trying to keep calling, like, what the heck's going on? And let me, you know, hang on here. Yeah.
So here's the deal. I suspect that on the Enneagram, you're a one. Is that the case?
You know, I've never been clear about the darn Enneagram. I've thought I was a one or a six. I see a lot of both. So I could definitely make a case for one.
Well, whether you're a one or not, but all the Enneatype ones, if they want to listen in on this, this would be a good place to listen in, okay?
Okay.
Because this is what goes on. We could do a thing with everybody, you know, but we're just talking with ones now, okay? So, or anybody who hears right, wrong language. So that's the deal with Enneatype ones. It's right and wrong. That's it. All right. So what happens is the issue is right and wrong. So you're trying to do it right. You keep doing it wrong. Right?
Yeah.
Or you're told you're doing it wrong. Who knows what you're doing, but you're told. So you're trying to do it right, you keep being told that you're doing it wrong. Now, it's really difficult to get that's the issue.
Yeah.
Because it has you focus on, well, in this situation, da 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 da, And so you're doing it wrong. But over here in this situation, this is going on, and the right thing to do would be this, but you're doing that, so that's wrong. And it has us focus on the content of it so that we don't notice that every conversation is the same process. It ends up with you're doing it wrong. Okay? Now, that we can feel crazy, right, with that kind of thing, because if I say to you, I bet with some regularity you hear that you're doing it wrong, you would say, yes, that is true. You hear all the time that you're doing it wrong. Yeah?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So this is really good. So we hear it all the time, and yet it doesn't click with us that that's all that's going on. You talk about the car, you can talk about the job, you can talk about money, you can talk about how you look, you can talk about your parents, you can talk about anything, and it's going to come down to you're doing it wrong. So, here's your assignment.
Okay.
Any time you hear that you're doing it wrong, you simply say, ah, that's that process again.
Okay.
Ah, I see. Okay, I just got thrown into that pit of you're doing it wrong. This is a scam. I've just been conned again. Okay, now that's all the farther you have to go, because at that point, you drop whatever it is.
Okay.
All right, so it's, you know, I bought such and such. Well, you shouldn't have that, and it's a waste of money, and I can't believe you did that. And, oh, okay, I get it. This is about me being told I'm wrong. Okay, I don't need to have this conversation. Now, it will take more will, not even willingness, plain old will to drop that story at that point. Okay? I mean, can you feel it?
Oh, I can feel it right now. Absolutely.
It'll have your stomach tied in such a knot.
Yeah.
But that's the secret to your success. If you drop those conversations, because those conversations are designed simply to take you to the place where they always take you.
Yeah.
You notice that, I mean, what you're saying, they never get you anywhere. It's not like eventually going through this process, you're told, yes, that's right. You did it right. Now, repeat that for the rest of your life and you're going to be fine.
Yeah. No, that's not happening.
No, it's not happening. And it'll never happen. The implication is that it's leading you to right, to knowing what's right, to getting it right, to figuring it out, so that you'll be all right. But it's not the case.
Yeah.
So you've got a driving instructor who you're paying to teach you how to drive, keep you on the road, keep you out of accidents. And all of the instructions have you winding up in a ditch. But you're following the instructions, so you can't figure out why you keep winding up in a ditch when what you're doing is learning to drive down the road and stay out of ditches and accidents. Can you see what I'm saying with that?
I didn't quite get the, I mean, I feel like I'm in a ditch, but that's about all I got.
Well, in other words, you're believing that one process is happening. So we've signed up for driving lessons. It wouldn't occur to you that my bottom line purpose is to get you to continue to drive into a ditch. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with our agreement.
Yeah.
So those
voices, I'm believing that this thing
you're believing
is going
to... that those voices are helping you get it right.
Yeah.
But they're not. They are only there to lead you to the point of feeling bad because you're wrong once again.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, okay. No, I definitely get that.
So it would take you a long time and a lot of paying attention to get it, that the person you're paying to teach you to drive is actually causing you to run into ditches.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. It goes against everything that we believe. And yet when you watch, that's what's going on. Those voices are not helping you be right. They're not helping you understand. They're not helping you figure anything out. They're just confusing you, muddying the waters, and as quickly as possible, getting you once again to the place where you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so it's just, I notice them and I say, oh, that's just that process that's
making
trying
me wrong.
to make me wrong, and then I don't go any further with
yep,
the
we're not,
whole.
We're not having
okay.
this conversation. Because if the person you're looking to help you get it right is invested in making you feel wrong, you really, you know, you got a lawyer who is a banker who's trying to bankrupt you. Stop taking the advice.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other thing that I felt so suspicious about is, you know, this is the story, but, you know, I'm having such difficulty accessing the mentor because I think conditioning is trying to convince me that it's the mentor. Like, it's just been, recording and listening has been pretty hijacked and all of that kind of stuff, like not trusting, you know, that there is any wisdom within this being because conditioning
okay.
is coming in so quickly or whatever.
Here's one.
Like,
Here's one. Start recording all of the wise things that you know about and that you encounter. You with me?
Okay.
Yeah?
I can't picture it quite yet, but I know
okay.
there's got to be some of that.
Well, there's a peace quote.
Yeah,
so,
yes, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that is really good
recording. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you could hear the lyrics of a song and think, that is really powerful.
Yeah.
Record it. There's a poem. You know, if you like, you like Rumi or Mary Oliver or whoever
uh-huh.
it is, you know, find all of the Ryokan, find all of the things that you resonate with.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to your heart and record those because they are proof of your wisdom.
Because
they're
I'm
just,
projecting what I feel
that's right.
there.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're just words until you make them wise.
Mm. Yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah. It gets me so just tied up in knots in that, well, you can't trust yourself. I mean, I know I don't want to trust the quote self, but I know that there is wisdom in here, but it just keeps all these crazy conversations going. And I think, you know, again, they're just so compelling at this point that, you know, oh, well, if I'm doing something wrong from practice, then I better listen to that is kind of what
nope.
happens.
Especially that.
Yeah.
Any
yeah.
voice that tells you that you're doing it wrong, just say, okay, we're not having that conversation because here's the thing to get, Jen. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
No such thing as wrong.
Yeah, and you know that arises in me all the time, like for quote other people. It's like not available for this being sometimes, you know.
So that's what you want to live in. There's no such thing as wrong. Now, wait a minute. Why are we having this conversation? There's no such thing as wrong. Why are we trying to figure out how wrong I am or what I've done wrong or how to do it right? There's no such thing. Why?
Yeah.
No, we're not talking about that. I want to go back to that quote, that one about where the Buddha said that. That's what,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then have a conversation with yourself about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can just do what I'm doing because I keep getting really paralyzed in everything that I'm
That's
doing
right.
because
you just
of
keep
these
going,
conversations.
Stay in
yeah,
the conversation with the Buddha.
Okay.
Yeah. None of those others. As soon as you hear right or wrong, just go, eh! And you know, even if it's a feeling of right, wrong.
Yes.
You drop it. Nope. Bad banker. trying to bang it.
Yeah, I think it'll do. I mean, even actually in the last call, so what was coming up was, wow, you know, who are you to ever think that you could be coaching people? Because, you know, Sherry is clearly so much better. You're terrible. You really shouldn't be, you know, ever speaking to people,
you know,
probably. So it's just another version of wrong.
Keep
yeah.
in mind, okay, here's the next rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next rule, when people are calling you, hang up the phone. Okay?
Yeah.
You're this, you're that. Why are you this? How could you? No.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah. I mean, sometimes it's the I, but sometimes it's the you, and I'm not catching it either, so yeah.
And even if it's I, it's responding to a you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Why do I think I can do that? That's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, all the same.
Yeah.
It's all saying you're wrong. Goodbye. We're not having that conversation. Nope.
Okay.
No more of those. And so don't worry about the wisdom inside from the mentor. Find wisdom all around you. Live in that wisdom.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that's all. Those are the only conversations you're living in.
Okay. Well, thank you. That is great. And I think if I stop talking, you might get one more caller. So I have a lot to practice with.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Stay in touch. I want to know how this goes. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really
you
appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Good night.
Thanks. Well, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, it is 5:56.
Let's try it. Let's just risk it.
Risk it. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara from Australia.
Well, hello, Barbara.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm so glad I got on. Riding at the sucking at the end.
You want to give us a little process report?
Life is kind of getting a lot easier. I've moved house. I survived it, and it was a really big process. In the last couple of weeks, had a really positive shift with my health situation that feels a bit exciting. Generally things feel, you know, lighter and easier, certainly than most of this year, really. It's been an enormous, a year of kind of intense pressure but also fairly intense practice. So I can see, you know, I can see how, you know, these hard times are such also opportunities.
And I just want to see if this is your experience. When something like that happens for me, I'm going along and it feels like, oof, this is good practice because... And then it shifts. It just lifts it, whatever happens, and suddenly it's easier. And I'm left with this question of was it or was it me? Did the planets realign themselves? And so there's something outside of my sphere that it is having this effect on me, or did all of this practice just drop to a new place? But it feels that kind of change just feels miraculous.
Some of it is clearly external circumstances changing. You know, that I have moved house and it became a very, very challenging situation where I was. So the fact that I'm not there anymore has, you know, been a real external shift there's a lot of much more lightness. But
right.
Yeah, it's sort of, I feel sort of like I've popped out of a tunnel and suddenly the world, you know, I can see the world, you know, the way that it's always been, but that I,
yeah,
that I've been in this other tunnel, you know, looking through a whole different kind of lens.
Yeah, yes, looking through a different lens. And yes, the externals are different, but don't you have a sense that if you weren't different, you would be able to make those externals just as miserable as the previous externals were?
Yeah, I've really been able to see that because, you know, life recreated a set of externals for me this year that really mirrored a set of externals that happened to me, you know, 20-something years ago. And 20-something years ago, I had a complete breakdown. That's when my health, you know, collapsed and, you know, it's like a nervous breakdown, really. So this time it was just, I had a lot of fear come up that would happen all over again, but it's been such a different outcome. Like, I could have gone shocked, really.
Yes.
Yeah, that I've come out the other side sort of feeling so much better.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I'm, of course, not interested in making meaning out of anything because we never know anyway. And it's just miraculous when it all comes together. And it feels, I don't know if we want to say it that way, but it's like all that hard work to keep showing up and keep being there for yourself and doing the best that you can. And then we're in that tunnel, and then suddenly you come out of it and there's the sunshine and the blue sky, and you know, there may be another tunnel down the road, probably is. You know, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay because you know that you know how you'll be with you if and when that happens.
Yeah. And what I've noticed too is, like, you know, now sort of the challenge is to keep that level of practice happening because, you know, all year there was a choice, but I was so driven to practice because I was in such a difficult place.
If I may, you know, we don't want the voices to be in charge of assessing that kind of thing with us, right? Because the voices would happily move in and say, okay, well, yeah, but you're not really practicing the way you should, and, you know, they start working to create a life of misery for us. So maybe this is the time to practice with gratitude, practice with joy.
Yeah.
And that's practice too. We don't have to be miserable. We don't have to be suffering in order to practice. When we're suffering like that, yeah, we're really aware that we're practicing hard. But we can practice just as hard with joy, in the sense of being just as present, just as there, just as, you know, making our best effort to be in the moment and one with life. And it's okay to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the new kind of practice for me. I can't use it as a practice through the really challenging life circumstances. So, yeah, it's good to hear that. It'd be good to listen back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, you're paddling, and suddenly, you hit the current going in your direction and zoom. you know, it's okay to just grin and let life take you along in that state of enjoyment. I think it's,
well, thank you so much.
I think it's as long as we never forget to say thank you. You know, that's where we lose our practice. It's not that we have to sit for 8 hours a day. That's not practice. Okay? That's not the practice we're talking about. We just never want to lose sight of right. Well, it's great hearing your voice. I'm glad it's working.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Okay.
Take
good
care.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Michael.
Bye. Great. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, Sherry.
Great show, Michael.
Great show. It was awesome.
Thankful. Grateful. It's the week for it, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Good. Yes, it is.
Right. So I will be talking to you soon.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
All right. Me too. Good night, Michael.
Good night.